It's always a great morning at Heart of the Bay whenever we come together to worship the Lord and hear a word from God. And today is no different. I said today is no different. Amen. We've gathered in His name. As I said earlier during the worship set, I was ministering to the Lord and I just felt compelled to ask Him to just come down and embrace me. I mean, you've been embraced before by someone you really love and trust. Maybe your dad, maybe your grandpa, maybe your mom, just embraced. Maybe a brother, a sister. I felt Him come into my living room and embrace me. And I said, I need this. I really need this. And I felt this come out of my heart. The world needs this. The world needs this. So today I'd like to minister a message to you entitled, What Your World Needs Now. What Your World Needs Now. Hallelujah. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your presence. Speak to us. Help us, Lord, to operate and cooperate with heaven. We need heaven to come down to earth. We understand that the kingdom of heaven is within us, but it needs to come out. So help us, Lord. Heal those parts that need to be healed and those hindrances, God, that have kept it, the love of God through us has kept it back. And give me utterance today. Touch each heart, Lord. I want You to touch each heart in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, there was a song written in 1964, I believe, or 65. It was written by Hal David and Burt Bacharach wrote the music to it. And it was debuted by Jackie DeShannon in 1965. Those of you that were alive back then might remember this, but I was a little bit later on the scale, so I'm not saying that I'm not as old as Pastor Mark. Not like that, but what I'm saying is I caught it when Dionne Warwick sang it. What the World Needs Now. Do y'all remember that song? That's a good song. It came at a time where there was a lot of turmoil. Vietnam War. War in the Dominican Republic. Sending troops to the Dominican Republic. Very tense time throughout the nations. A lot of riots and different things. But she, both these ladies sang. But I remember Dionne. So I'm going to say Dionne Warwick sang this song. I'm just singing the lyrics just a little bit. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for what? But for everyone. Hallelujah. You're an answer to somebody's prayer. You're the answer to someone's cry. The world is crying out for love. Think about this. We're hungry for love. We really are. And yet, even after hearing about it and being taught about it and giving it, trying to give and receive love freely, in many ways, we're still learning how to give and receive love. Amen. And many people, they don't have any idea how to give it or how to receive it. And so, I'm going to do my very best to let God flow through me today. So that we could perhaps be the answer to God's call and somebody's cry for the love that they desperately need. Amen? Amen. Amen. First of all, I want to start with saying, I'm going to read something from Matthew 24 and verse 12. And it's this. It says in the King James Version, because iniquity shall abound, it says the love of many shall wax cold. All right? Because of iniquity, because it will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In the New King James Version, it says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The Living Bible says this. It says, sin will be rampant everywhere and will cool the love of many. Can you give me one or two more? How many give me one or two more? It's just a sign of the times, friends. It says that because of the increase of wickedness in the NIV, the love of most will grow cold. I mean, you can hardly go someplace and render a smile and somebody's not suspicious about you. I'm serious. What you looking at? There's something wrong with you? Take this outside. Sorry. The voice, I know we don't have this, says the love that they had for one another will grow cold because few will obey the law. Love, first of all, is a choice. God has endowed us with the love of God. It's been what? Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. How many of you knew that? You knew that, right? But it's a choice because love will always cost you something. Love costs. Love is not free. Whatever you heard in the 60s, those of you that were doing, quote, free love, it's a lie. Love always costs, and it costs a lot. It takes effort. It takes forgiveness. It takes faith. When one of the disciples asked the Lord, hey, it could have been a couple of them, like, I think it was Peter, actually. He says, you know, I mean, come on, how many times do I have to forgive somebody if they sin against me? One of my brothers sins against me. How often do I have to sin against them? It's the only time I saw in Scripture a phrase that I'm about to relay, and I know that you've read it before. Jesus says, not seven times, but in one rendition says 70 times seven. The other one says seven times seven. And then you know what the response from the disciple was? Oh, dear God, increase our faith. Because you know what? In my humble opinion, I think strained human relationships is one of the most draining things in your life. People that misunderstand and trust is broken, or because of what somebody said or they didn't hear it quite right, and they're offended. How many of you ever had a chance, and if you're a human being, I know you have, and I know you tell the truth in church. This is church, church, this is church. Tell the truth. Something didn't go quite well with an exchange. In fact, it might have gone pretty bad. And then you go home, and then there's something on the inside of you that goes, you just feel bad. It could be friend against friend, or it could be mom against son or daughter. And it just feels this knot in your stomach. Somebody does you wrong, right? And then, you know, trying to be a good... How many are trying to be a good Christian? You're trying to be a good Christian. Just a few... I got a few takers. I try to be a good Christian. You know, my wife would watch. She, I can't lie. My wife's on the front row. If I tell a lie, my wife will go... Eh. I want to thank God, first of all, for my church. They've taught me a lot about love. My pastors are just awesome. They've taught me about the love of God. But she knows when I've had strained relationships, you know, whether even with me and her or someone else, where I had to really, somebody say work. Had to really work through it. It takes work. To pray. The Bible instructs us clearly in 1 Corinthians 13, I love it, maybe we'll get a chance to read it toward the end, that we are to believe the best of every person. That means when something goes down that hits you wrong, you have to really hold the rein, man. Hold your soul. Don't you go that way of offense. You got to hang on to your soul. They hurt me. They said this about me. But you got to hang on to the reins of your soul. Come on, we're not soul driven. We're spirit driven. Is that right? I thought we just said earlier in this church that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Love believes the best of and for the other person. So this is so simple and yet it is so deep. It's just like God. It's eternally complex and eternally simple at the same time. I'm going to read, where's that little scripture? I'm going to read something for you. Matthew 22, let's skip all the way down. I just finished my introduction. I went through, man, that's really good. 3 pages worth without even looking. Matthew 22, listen to this. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Reading from Matthew 22, verse 36. In the New King James Version. Jesus said to him, you shall, listen to this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. You've heard that before, haven't you? It's so important that we practice giving and receiving of the love of God. Just you and Him. There is no substitute. I said there's no substitute. And if I have to work on it, I know you do too. Sometimes I have to tell my God loves me. God, I just have to work on that. In other words, He highly prizes you. He thinks about you. He's wild about you. I love it when Brother Keith Hershey comes here and talks about it. And man, he just doesn't he minister? He just carries that anointing about how much God loves you. Friend, I'm coming to talk to you today. I'm going to do my best to let you know God's thinking about you. He loves you. Amen. He's passionately wild about you. Right. What hurts you hurts Him. Yeah. He's got plans for you. He observes. He understands you. He knows you're down sitting and you're uprising. Read Psalm 139 sometime. You can't get rid of God. Sorry. He's going to stick closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. But look what it says. What I wanted to borrow here, we just paused on that for a moment. You shall love the Lord your God. Now look, you can't love other people unless you first love God. You have to love God and receive His love back. You have to understand that He was so gracious to you. You've got to understand, hey, this is like AA. We were that, now we're this, and it's all by the grace of God. Yes. Come on, how many people were a mess? We were a mess, and then God stepped in. Yes, and He loved us anyway. Yeah. The Scripture describes it this way, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. You couldn't earn the love of God. You couldn't earn His favor. You can't earn His attention. And you can't earn His ear. Because He just decided to do that. He said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. He's that way. He delights in mercy. But Pastor Tom, I messed up. Join the club. We all messed up. Yeah, but you don't understand. I messed up last night. Join the club. He is the one that cleanses you. Your iniquities, He says, He buries them into the depths of the sea and He remembers them no more. That's right. Amen. If you go to God and say, yeah, what I did, He says, what are you talking about? I'm sorry. I must have missed something. Oh, you mean you don't remember that I... goes, His grace and His mercy covers you. I'm not asking you or suggesting that you have a license to sin. People will sin without a license. Yeah. But you know, when you follow after God, like the psalmist said, my soul follows hard after you. You awake to righteousness and you don't want to sin against Him. But then you begin to feel His embrace. If you sense His embrace, then you'll be able to love the world around you. Title of my message is What Your World Needs Now. You know what they need? They need your love. Right. Yeah, Pastor Tom, isn't the love of God? Yeah, but let's not put it off on God. Let's put it more where it lies in your lap. Yeah. You're the one that's going to bring your love. Of course, it's the love of God, but it's your love to the people around you. Amen. So let me finish. I got to get to this scripture. Thank you. How many of you believe in God with me this morning? Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your, somebody say, neighbor. You shall love your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That is a deep... Don't you think that's a deep saying? All the law and all the prophets. That means you could study the Greek, the Hebrew, You could study the Latin and you could also study the homebrew. And know every word and every jot and every tittle. But unless you're walking in love, it says, on this hang all the law and all the prophets. I may not know all the Greek and all the Hebrew, but if I know how to bake a dozen cookies in the name of Jesus and bring them over to a hurting person, come on, somebody. If I can make a bowl of chili beans or a pot of chili beans, hallelujah, I felt something on that one, and bring it with, listen, love. Love. Bring it to somebody.
That's right.
If I could pick up the phone and call somebody, that's love. Encourage them in their journey. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Let me read this in another. How many of these do I have? Oh, just one more. This would be in the Amplified Bible. And this is the New Version Amplified Bible. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and with all your mind. And then going on, it says, this is the first and great commandment. Then he says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, that is, unselfishly seek the best or the higher ground for others. Christianity is and will forever be outward, not inward. It will never be what's in it for me. The more you live for me, the worse your life will be. Gee, that rhymes. Maybe I'll write that song. The more you live for me, the worse your life will be. The more you live for you, the better your life will be. That's true. Okay, just rhyming. Hallelujah. The better your life will be. Hallelujah. Seek the good of others. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm gonna paraphrase this because I don't want to take all day. How many of you want me to take all day? I didn't think so. Oh, a couple folks. Oh, meet me later. We'll stay till 10 o'clock tonight. Full version.
No problem.
No problem. Let's look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. All right, we're talking. Somebody say neighbor.
Neighbor.
Neighbor, 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 neighbor. Love your neighbor. So we know that in the book of Luke, and I'm going to paraphrase here. Yeah, I didn't even have my glasses. I'm doing pretty good. On one occasion, the expert. Watch out for the experts. The expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus says, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God and so forth, you know, and love your neighbor. And then with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus says to this individual. You answered correctly, he replied. Do this and you will live. But then this smarty pants expert said he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells the story. And you all know, how many of you know the story about the Samaritan? May I save a little time? So there was a man that was traveling his merry way, and he fell among thieves. Not so far fetched, you know. I mean, San Francisco Bay Area, I mean, you can hardly. While you're filming something about how car theft is happening, while they're doing it, they're breaking into your car. I mean, we're surrounded. That's why the love of many is growing cold. I mean, you know, if you set your suitcase down and you're going to sign a piece, you go back. Oh, where is it? Oh, what? That's where we're living right now. People are stealing things, but he fell among thieves. And there was the religious people and the really highly trained people and the highly educated people. And they're too busy for... Listen, I'm too busy for that. I'm too busy for this dude. But there came a Samaritan that came and had what? Compassion. What his world needed now was the Samaritan's love. Are you listening to me? Catch this. He needed that. So he says he had compassion on him. He says he picked him up. He bound his wounds. He lovingly took him to the inn, and then he put, it's going to cost you something. First of all, it's going to cost you time. In some cases, many cases, it'll cost you money.
That's true.
I said it will cost you money. It'll cost you energy. And not to mention inconvenience. I don't know if he was late to a journey, but, you know, he takes him in, he pays him, says, whatever you need, take good care of him, whatever else, I'll come back and I'll restore it to you in full. Now listen to this. Jesus poises the question. You're asking me, who's my neighbor? Okay, according to the story, who's the neighbor? And the guy said, okay, I can hear him say, you win. The Samaritan. The Samaritan was kind. So what we see is a model of how we're not supposed to just shield ourselves from everything. He says, that's their problem. I got to take care of me and my own, man. I can't do nothing. The richest life that I've seen in this church and in my tenure here is people that give. You know, somebody's moving, we all jump in, we get the pickup trucks, we go and help them move. You know, something happens, we chip in and we do whatever needs to be done. Amen.
Amen.
That's who we are. Amen. I said that's who we are. We help one another.
Yeah.
As much as is in you, look out also for the needs of others. See what's going on. See how you can bless somebody else. I have the opportunity to bless somebody, you know. Don't call me about this, but if the Lord puts it on my heart on computer problems or something, I says, well, let's see if I can help you out. You know, this is, you know, people, I call people about, how do I use a stupid phone? You know, I don't know how to use a phone. And then they show me. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
As I scan this wonderful congregation, I scan a family. And in this family, I see many that we've done things together. You know, we've done projects to bless other people. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. All right. Now we're going to get to where the nitty meets the gritty. Sorry, guys. I'm going to have to get to this. We're going to have to get into it. Are you ready? So we talked about the neighbor. But the scripture is clear that sometimes the people that need the help the most and the people that are the greatest need many times are people in your own family. I saw it, Marcy. That's exactly it. Come on, you know, we're getting where the nitty meets the gritty. Family. Drama. Why is it that drama and family, they just sound so right together? They sound so right together. Oh, Jesus. Let me get to the family drama. Let's see. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to watch. There's drama all over. In case you didn't notice, the scripture is full of family drama. But and how God helped work things out. But let's look at Genesis 37. Are you with me? Everybody still here? Hallelujah. We're not going to be all day, by the way. Chapter 37, verse 3 through 5, we're talking about Joseph and his family. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all the children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him the tunic of many colors. You know the story, right? When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the other brothers, and by the way, that should never have been. But how many of you know life isn't perfect? Hello? I said life isn't perfect. Your mom isn't perfect. Your dad isn't perfect. And hello, you're not perfect. So this guy was no different. Israel was no different. It says that they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brother and they hated him even more. Now I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but there are many. I know that I know as sure as my name is Tom. I know that you have at least a handful of relationships right now that are strained. I know it. I mean, it doesn't take a crystal ball. It's just a fallen world. And how, come on, Marcy, family. That's how family is sometimes. Listen. It says in the message that they grew to hate him. They wouldn't even speak to him. How many people won't know, not a show of hands, but I know that there's some of you within the sound of my voice that you have members of your family, you're not even on speaking terms. You've been unfriended. You've been defriended. You've been unpersoned. Oh, Jesus. Well, somebody, the sister, let me come over here. Say that again, sister. Well. Look at what the Amplified, the new version says. They hated him, so they could not find it within themselves to speak to him on friendly terms. Amplified Classic, they could not say peace in a friendly greeting to him or speak peaceably to him. The voice says this, they grew to hate him and couldn't find it in themselves to speak to him without resentment or argument. Come on, I know I'm getting where the nitty meets the gritty right now. This is where the nitty meets the gritty. And I'm not talking about grits. NIV says they could not speak a kind word to him. The Holman says they could not bring themselves to speak peaceably. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, you just do things like, come on, this is mom's birthday now. Come on, just suck it up and just get in there and just do the right thing. And just, so you just, okay, and then you just kind of make yourself, you know, do whatever it is that you have to do, you know. And you what you're really doing, can I be honest? Can we be honest in the house? What you're doing is you're doing the word. You're putting your flesh down. Come on. You're putting down wicked imaginations. You say, I am going to honor my family member. Or I'm going to honor my friend, or who used to be my friend. Or I'm going to honor my enemy, however it works, my frenemy. I am going to honor them in Jesus' name. Flesh, shut up. Sometimes, did I say that in church? I just said that in church. Sometimes you got to tell your flesh to stop and just shut up. Is that right? And look at what it says. It says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, lest we become completely despondent. In the NIV in Romans 12, 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. So here's a little something to live by. Do your very best with people. Do your best with your family. Do your best. Keep your emotions under control. Amen? Let your spirit, let the love of God that shed abroad in your heart, let it dominate your thoughts. Cast down wicked imaginations. And you know, it's okay to love somebody from a distance if that's what you've got to do. But don't allow bitterness in your soul. I got a witness right here, this sister right here. She's going, yo, yeah. Some of the best thing that could possibly be in some people's life is a little distance, please. Give me a little space, please. A little space. That's okay. But I'll tell you what's not okay. Distance with resentment. Distance with hatred. There's such a thing as distance with love, but there's a distance that comes from resentment. That will eat you alive. That will cost you more than you're willing to pay. It's much better to spend the time praying through, like the old timers would do. Come on, pray through it. Come on, forgive them. Come on, release them. As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen, somebody. Am I preaching good now? I mean, I know I started getting in your business, especially when I start talking about your family. I mean, there's some doozies. Sister against sister? Come on. Uncle against nephew. Mom against daughter. Daughter against... There's some doozies out there. You know, it's really, I hear these words, can everybody just get along? It takes faith, and it takes the love of God, and it takes effort and work for you to get along. And be careful about certain things that are going around in this world. You know, like elections and things like that. You guard your heart. You stay in the love of God. People have a right to think the way they think. You pray that all of your eyes would be opened, that God would have His way, that the will of God would be done in the earth. That's what we can agree on. That's why I love church so incredibly much. Look at us. We're from so many different places. We have so many different backgrounds. We have so many different careers and levels of education. And yet there's a love. It's just like all that just goes away because our commonality is Jesus and the love of God. This is a family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. We stand side by side, undivided in this house.
Amen.
We defend each other. We pray for one another. We stand up for one another in this house.
Hallelujah.
We're glad to be a part of this family, the family of God. Hallelujah. Anyway, where were we? Praise the Lord. Yeah, we were getting in your business. Hallelujah. So what we see is that, of course, Joseph was delivered to his Egypt, eventually a slave, and a lot of bad things will happen in life. Come on, some things are, but there's always grace. I thought this wasn't going to happen. Well, I thought some things weren't going to happen either. Well, I'm so disappointed. Well, I'm trying not to be disappointed, but I know this much. At least I can find grace and help to find in a time of need.
That's right. Amen.
How many of you wish things were just a little different or a lot different? I mean, the turn of events, you know how everything went down. But we know that God loves us. He's got a plan for us, right?
Yes.
And most of all, we've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And we've got grace to run our race. And not to fall out, but fall in love.
Yes. Amen.
Did you catch that? We've got grace to fall in love, not fall out. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I really like the way that Joseph handled himself. Praise the Lord. Let's see. And it says that he countered strife basically by when his brothers came to him at the end of Genesis. I know it's like Genesis 50 right now. I'm skipping all over the place. Well, come on now. And he said these words. He said, "Who am I, God?" He says, "I'm not going to judge you." The dad died, right? So they're thinking the other brothers that threw him into slavery, they thought, "Oh, now he's going to get back at us. He's going to get..." You know what? I love what he responded to them. He raised them up. He reassured them. "What am I, God? Look, what you may have meant for evil..." Come on, help me. "What you may have meant for evil..." What did God do? God turned it around for good. Now, I want to stay there for just about 2 or 3 minutes. If you harbor bitterness, I think that disqualifies you, or you short circuit the power of God to be able to turn things around for you. So don't, thank you. Don't hold on to that. Do what Joseph said. He says, "You meant it for evil, but God..." Come on, church. "But God..." But God. We need a "but God" in here now. "But God meant it for good to save..." Listen, "to save many people alive." Joseph's faithfulness to love in his world, wherever he was, he loved. He never let go of his calling. He never let go of his anointing. He never went into self-pity according to Scripture. But instead, he just kept operating in the love of God. He kept exercising his gift, even to his captors. Come on!
Amen.
He's serving the jailer, for heaven's sakes. It is amazing. But you do the same thing. And I have it on the authority of God's word that He's at work in your life. We sing that song. I love it when Pastor Brenda preached that message of, you know, even God's the way maker. Let God take care of it. He said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." You just keep your heart clean. Keep your heart pure. It's all going to be okay. I'm going to work it out for you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So those golden words, "Am I God to judge you guys? Come on. This was my lot. What you meant for evil, God meant for good."
Yes.
So there's a lot of things that come our way. Come on. They come our way throughout the seasons of our life, and we don't quite understand, well, wait a minute, this isn't quite joy unspeakable and full of glory here. Did I get the wrong story? This isn't quite full of glory here. But those are the times where you got to run down, up and down Hallelujah Hallway. Come on. Those are the times that you got to praise the Lord anyhow. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Praise when you're sure and praise when you're not so sure.
Yeah.
Because you have committed your life into the hand of one who is greater. Amen. He will not suffer you to be moved. Hallelujah. So, anyway, I love that. Let's go to another example. And this is Israel. This would be another example before we go into closing comments. So, Israel gets instructed by the Lord to stay in Gerar and sojourn there. And there's famine in the land. So, famine, that means to me hard times. Okay, hard times. So, he's there, and what he's just doing, you just do what Jesus put in your heart to do. And he's just doing what he knows to do. So, he's going to the wells that his father dug. And look at the extent at which Isaac went to avoid getting into it with the locals. So he started settling it up there, and the other herdsman says, "This is ours." And they plugged it up. "This is ours. You can't have this." So instead of saying, "Well, who do you think you are? My father's, I'll take you to court." No, instead what he did was he said, "Okay, all right." So he went to another well. He went, traveled a little more, found another well. "Okay, this looks pretty good." And right when they're getting ready to set up camp, the other herdsmen, I think they were Philistines, came and said, "This is ours! You can't have this!" And he goes like, "Ooh, well, okay." So he went to another one. He just kept going from well to well. Somebody say, "Well." Okay. So he finally got to the correct well. The herdsmen said, "We found water." And it's like you go to the next one and he's looking to see what's going to happen now. Who's going to try to mess with us on this one now? Lord, looks like I found the right well. Looks like I found the right one. Kings came down. They said, "Let's have a little peace treaty here going on." And his herdsman said, "We found water." You know, in that year, Isaac harvested 100-fold in a year of famine. Okay, let's learn from this. Let's take a couple minutes. Is that all right, everybody? Is that okay? He did the same thing that Joseph did. He guarded his heart. Stop being offended. Stop being offensive. You don't have to say everything that comes out of your mouth.
That's right.
Proverbs says this. It says, "A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man holds it in till afterwards."
That's right.
What I have found is when I hold things in till afterwards, when God gives me the grace to just be quiet, I begin to see the other person's point of view. Isn't that a good idea, Pastor Nancy? See the other person's point of view. Put yourself in their place. And in a calm, peaceful, and reasonable state, you help to affirm the other people. And hearts are open to you. I like what Dale Carnegie says in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, or one of those. He says, he feels that the ability to deal with people is as rich a commodity as coffee or gold or petroleum or whatnot. The ability to deal with people. In other words, there's a time to be quiet and pray. And let the Holy Spirit help you. And sometimes you just might locate a misunderstanding. And with a time of clarity. Now this takes work. Somebody say work. Good relationships that are worth anything take work. You have to roll up your sleeves and do the work. What's the first part of the work. Well, you know, open my big mouth and tell them everything I thought. No, the first part of the work is to listen. Amen. Listen. Let every man be slow to speak and swift to listen. You've got to listen. Listen with an open heart. Is that amen? I'm getting some amens in the crowd like, yep, yep. See, we've got some folks in this church that have walked through some things. And they know that's exactly how. We tried it the other way. That doesn't work. We tried it this way. That works. Listen. And take your time. Don't try to answer them. Just take your time and listen to what they have to say. That frustrated teenager, there's something going on in their soul. You'd do better to listen to what they had to say and say, I care about you. I love you. Tell me more. Let's work on this together. Instead of, don't you take that attitude with me. Go to your room. It's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a time for that, I suppose. But that comes up too quickly, you know. Learn how to listen. Can't we help ask God's help to help us to listen a little bit more? So he went through this process where he did everything that he could do to avoid getting into strife. We're talking about Isaac, right? He had a right to be at that well. My father dug this well. What are you talking? No, but he says love does not insist on its own. There's something real powerful about a calm and a gentle response. Oh, there's a time to be bold as a lion. Amen. But we do that in prayer many times, and we have to do it advisedly. If it involves people, you better check with headquarters first. Somebody said amen. So, let's see where I could bring this to a... Wow. I gave them a break up in media today. I didn't do very much. Hallelujah. Didn't go too far on that. God is good to us today. Amen. Amen. Closing comments. And that just means we'll only be another hour and a half. So, I love this, but who said no problem? Listen, 1 Peter chapter 3, 11 through 12 in the New King James says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. I grew up with that. My mom would say that all the time. Busca la paz y síguela. How many Spanish-speaking people in the house? Come on. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Vamos a ver. Gloria. Let me hear a gloria a Dios. All right. See, there's a whole lot of Hispanics, so you better be nice to us. Gloria a Dios. She would say, busca la paz y síguela. Busca la paz y... So as a little kid, I remember, busca la paz y síguela. Busca la paz y síguela. Busca la paz y síguela. I know. Busca la paz y síguela. Yeah, I had sisters, Carolyn, cheating me out of that ukulele. Seek peace and pursue it. That's what that means. Busca means look, seek, search. La paz means the peace, and sigla means follow after it. And notice this, and we're closing. How many are having fun in church so far? It says this in the Amplified Version. It says, do not merely desire peaceful relations with God. 1 Peter 3 and verse 11b. It says, don't just desire peaceful relations with God, with your fellow man and with yourself, but pursue and go after them. I want you to notice that there are three versions of pursuing peace. This will be quick, but catch it. How many are going to catch it? Hallelujah. I want to go to lunch sometime this afternoon before tonight. Okay, you need to have peace with God. So whatever it takes, make sure that this relationship is clear. You pray. Pray and don't stop praying till you have clarity and you're back in the place. You cast it over on the Lord. When he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, that means whoever hurt you, I get it. We're not asking you to deny that somebody hurt you. They just flat hurt you and it hurt, right?
Yeah.
But what you do is you give it to God. Amen. You commit it to the hands of a loving Father and you ask Him to embrace you. Come on, somebody.
Hold on. That's right.
But there's another peace. It says peace within yourself. You have to find peace in your own soul. Come on, your spirit, soul, and body, right? You gotta deal with this. You can't be, you know, anxious and all these feelings. You have to make sure that you demand that your body line up, that you're not gonna walk in the flesh. But it says also peace with others. Pursue after that. I'm telling you, that is the best stay young cream that women will ever buy. That is the best stay handsome like Mike cream that guys will ever get, anything you can get on the market. I'm telling you right now, just to stay at peace. When people are nasty, just be sweet. Stay at peace. Is that right, Mike? I mean, that's the only way you could be good looking as you. Man, I've got people that come to us because we've been here a few minutes, you know. We've been here over 40 years. And they'll come to you and it's like, man, you look the same. We're like, and then I look at them like, you don't look too good, do you? I did not say that. Did I say that in church? I'm telling you, strife will mess with your life. Strife will mess with your life. Hallelujah. Where was I? Oh yeah, three relationships. You need to not just desire it, but you have to go after it. You have to pursue it and go after it. Praise the Lord. With peaceful relations with God, with your fellow man, and with yourself. Hallelujah. Do that. And I like what it says. It's not on the notes, but Colossians 3, I believe it's 15. It says, let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart and decide with finality, any amplified version, any question that may arise. And then the peace of God is going to just take care of everything. Amen? Then you'll stay young and beautiful like my wife Kimberly and like handsome like, you know. Hallelujah. All right, let's wrap this up. Where are we? Where are we going here? Matthew 5, 9 in the Message. Listen to this. While we're turning to that, I want to remind you that one of the main idea here is that blessed are the strife makers, for they I'm sorry, I have to go get my glasses. Blessed are the argumentative blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God.
Amen.
Listen to this. Amplified Classic says, blessed are the peace, the makers and maintainers of peace. Amen. The makers and maintainers. How about NLT says, God blesses those who work for peace. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, 9 in the Message. I really like this. Listen to this. You're blessed. I'm trying to help you guys, all right? Help me out a little bit here. Okay. You're blessed when you can show people, listen, how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. Amen. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. I wanted to say, man, there's so many other little notes, but, you know, first of all, I love this. In Ephesians chapter 2, I would encourage you to read this. This is a great one. Let me get this one. I love this one. In the Message. Hebrews 12, 15 through 16. Listen to this. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure that no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds or for bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Listen to this. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Work at it. I believe God has equipped us as a church to work at it. I don't care if it's an election cycle. I don't care what the news says. You know, we are a family of love. We are born of love. God is love. And those that walk in love and operate in love, they're the children of God. Amen. Not only that, you're a whole lot happier. Praise the Lord. And I want to tell you that as you walk in love, you'll stand a chance of reconciling more relationships that way. You've heard that saying, you catch more bees with honey.
Yeah.
I've heard several testimonies of people that were like really mean, and someone just kept being nice and kept being nice, and then God finally turned that heart. How many know God wants to turn the lives? What your world needs now, what your world needs right now, is your love. That's what your kids need. Members of your family, they need that. Amen. Your co-workers, they need genuine love.
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've equipped us with the love of God that shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We worship you. We honor you. We ask you, God, to embrace. I ask you to embrace every person. And Lord, for the mean things that have happened in their lives, you know the wounds that went deep. You know what they are, God. Everybody has a story. But praise God, we can all have a Savior. And one of the things that you do, Lord, is you heal the brokenhearted. And Lord, I thank you that you've healed us and are healing us so that we can love our world and each other. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen.